Chapter 152. Her would have been sufficient embarrassed by this incident, though it had terminated here, the more so, as the captain in the front row of the gallery was in a state of unmitigated consciousness which could hardly fail to express to the congregation that he had some mysterious connection with it. But the extreme restlessness of Mr. Toots painfully increased and protracted the delicacy of her situation. That young gentleman, incapable, in his state of mind, of remaining alone in the churchyard, a prey to solitary meditation, and also desirous, no doubt, of testifying his respect for the offices he had in some measure interrupted, suddenly returned, not coming back to the pew, but stationing himself on a free seat in the aisle, between two elderly females who were in the habit of receiving their portion of a weekly dole of bread then set forth on a shelf in the porch. In this conjunction Mr. Toots remained, greatly disturbing the congregation, who felt it impossible to avoid looking at him, until his feelings overcame him again, when he departed silently and suddenly. Not venturing to trust himself in the church any more, and yet wishing to have some social participation in what was going on there, Mr. Toots was, after this, seen from time to time, looking in, with a lorn aspect, at one or other of the windows, and as there were several windows accessible to him from without, and as his restlessness was very great, it not only became difficult to conceive at which window he would appear next, but likewise became necessary, as it were, for the whole congregation, to speculate upon the chances of the different windows, during the comparative leisure afforded them by the sermon. Mr. Toots' movements in the churchyard were so eccentric, that he seemed generally to defeat all calculation, and to appear, like the conjurer's figure, where he was least expected. And the effect of these mysterious presentations was much increased by its being difficult to him to see in, and easy to everybody else to see out, which occasioned his remaining, every time, longer than might have been expected, with his face close to the glass, until he all at once became aware that all eyes were upon him, and vanished. These proceedings on the part of Mr. Toots, and the strong individual consciousness of them that was exhibited by the captain, rendered Miss Nipper's position so responsible a one, that she was mightily relieved by the conclusion of the service, and was hardly so affable to Mr. Toots as usual, when he informed her and the captain, on the way back, that now he was sure he had no hope. You know, he felt more comfortable, at least not exactly more comfortable, but more comfortably and completely miserable. Swiftly now, indeed, the time flew by until it was the evening before the day appointed for the marriage. They were all assembled in the upper room at the midshipman's, and had no fear of interruption, for there were no lodgers in the house now, and the midshipman had it all to himself. They were grave, and quiet in the prospect of tomorrow, but moderately cheerful too. Florence, with Walter close beside her, was finishing a little piece of work intended as a parting gift to the captain. The captain was playing cribbage with Mr. Toots. Mr. Toots was taking counsel, as to his hand, of Susan Nipper. Miss Nipper was giving it, with all due secrecy and circumspection. Diogenes was listening, and occasionally breaking out into a gruff half-smothered fragment of a bark, of which he afterwards seemed half-ashamed, as if he doubted having any reason for it. "Steady, steady! Apostrophe, apostrophe," said the captain to Diogenes, "what's amiss with you? You don't seem easy in your mind tonight, my boy." Apostrophe, Diogenes wagged his tail, but pricked up his ears immediately afterwards, and gave utterance to another fragment of a bark, for which he apologized to the captain, by again wagging his tail. "It's my opinion, Di, apostrophe," said the captain, looking thoughtfully at his cards, and stroking his chin with his hook, "as you have your doubts of Mrs. Richards. But if you're the animal I take you to be, you'll think better o' that, for her looks is her commission. Now, brother," to Mr. Toots, "if so be as you're ready, heave ahead. apostrophe, the captain spoke with all composure and attention to the game, but suddenly his cards dropped out of his hand, his mouth and eyes opened wide, his legs drew themselves up and stuck out in front of his chair, and he sat staring at the door with blank amazement. Looking round upon the company, and seeing that none of them observed him, or the cause of his astonishment, the captain recovered himself with a great gasp, struck the table a tremendous blow, cried in a stentorian roar, "Sol gills ahoy!" apostrophe apostrophe and tumbled into the arms of a weather-beaten peacoat that had come with Polly into the room. In another moment, Walter was in the arms of the weather-beaten peacoat. In another moment, Florence was in the arms of the weather-beaten peacoat. In another moment, Captain Cuttle had embraced Mrs. Richards and Miss Nipper, and was violently shaking hands with Mr. Toots, exclaiming, as he waved his hook above his head, "Hoor, my lad, hoor!" apostrophe apostrophe to which Mr. Toots, wholly at a loss to account for these proceedings, replied with great politeness, "Certainly, Captain Gills, whatever you think proper." Apostrophe apostrophe the weather-beaten peacoat, and a no less weather-beaten cap and comforter belonging to it, turned from the captain, and from Florence back to Walter, and sounds came from the weather-beaten peacoat, cap, and comforter, as of an old man sobbing underneath them, while the shaggy sleeves clasped Walter tight. During this pause, there was an universal silence, and the captain polished his nose with great diligence. But when the peacoat, cap, and comforter lifted themselves up again, Florence gently moved towards them, and she and Walter, taking them off, disclosed the old instrument maker, a little thinner and more careworn than of old, in his old Welsh wig and his old coffee-colored coat and basket buttons, with his old infallible chronometer ticking away in his pocket. "Chock full o' science," apostrophe said the radiant captain, as ever he was. Sol Gills, what have you been up to, for this many a long day, my old boy?" apostrophe apostrophe, "I'm half blind, Ned," apostrophe said the old man, and almost deaf and dumb with joy. Apostrophe, his weary voice, apostrophe said the captain, looking round with an exultation to which even his face could hardly render justice, his weary voice as chock full o' science as ever it was. "Sol Gills, lay to, my lad, upon your own wines and fig trees like a taut old patriarch as you are, and over all them there adventures o' yourn, in your own familiar voice." "'Tis the voice," apostrophe said the captain, impressively, and announcing a quotation with his hook, "of the sluggard, I hear them complain, you have woke me too soon, I must slumber again. Scatter his e'en mice, and make em fall." Apostrophe apostrophe, the captain sat down with the air of a man who had happily expressed the feeling of everybody present, and immediately rose again to present Mr. Toots, who was much disconcerted by the arrival of anybody, appearing to prefer a claim to the name of Gills. "Although," apostrophe stammered Mr. Toots, "I had not the pleasure of your acquaintance, sir, before you were apostrophe lost to sight, to memory dear," apostrophe suggested the captain, in a low voice. "Exactly so, Captain Gills," apostrophe apostrophe assented Mr. Toots. "Although I had not the pleasure of your acquaintance, Mr. Souls," apostrophe said Toots, hitting on that name in the inspiration of a bright idea, "before that happened, I have the greatest pleasure, I assure you, in knowing you. I hope," apostrophe said Mr. Toots, "that you're as well as can be expected." Apostrophe, with these courteous words, Mr. Toots sat down blushing and chuckling. The old instrument maker, seated in a corner between Walter and Florence, and nodding at Polly, who was looking on, all smiles and delight, answered the captain thus: "Ned Cuttle, my dear boy, although I have heard something of the changes of events here, from my pleasant friend there, what a pleasant face she has to be sure, to welcome a wanderer home." Apostrophe apostrophe said the old man, breaking off, and rubbing his hands in his old dreamy way. "Hear him!" apostrophe apostrophe cried the captain gravely. 'Tis woman as seduces all mankind. For which, apostrophe aside to Mr. Toots, you'll overhaul your Adam and Eve, brother. Apostrophe, I shall make a point of doing so, Captain Gills, apostrophe said Mr. Toots. Although I have heard something of the changes of events, from her, apostrophe resumed the instrument maker, taking his old spectacles from his pocket, and putting them on his forehead in his old manner, they are so great and unexpected, and I am so overpowered by the sight of my dear boy, and by the, apostrophe glancing at the downcast eyes of Florence, and not attempting to finish the sentence, that I can't say much tonight. But my dear Ned Cuddle, why didn't you write? Apostrophe, the astonishment depicted in the captain's features positively frightened Mr. Toots, whose eyes were quite fixed by it, so that he could not withdraw them from his face. Right. Apostrophe, apostrophe, echoed the captain. Right, Sol Gills? Apostrophe, a, apostrophe, said the old man, either to Barbados, or Jamaica, or Demerara, that was what I asked. Apostrophe, what you asked, Sol Gills? Apostrophe, apostrophe, repeated the captain. A, apostrophe, said the old man. Don't you know, Ned? Sure you have not forgotten? Every time I wrote to you. Apostrophe, the captain took off his glazed hat, hung it on his hook, and smoothing his hair from behind with his hand, sat gazing at the group around him. A perfect image of wondering resignation. You don't appear to understand me, Ned. Apostrophe, apostrophe, observed old Sol. Sol Gills, apostrophe, returned the captain, after staring at him, and the rest for a long time, without speaking, I'm gone about and adrift. Pay out a word or two respecting the Midwinters, will you? Can't I bring up, no-hose? No-hose? Apostrophe, said the captain, ruminating, and staring all round. You know, Ned, apostrophe said Sol Gills, why I left here. Did you open my packet, Ned? Apostrophe, apostrophe, why, apostrophe said the captain. To be sure, I opened the packet. Apostrophe, and read it? Apostrophe, apostrophe said the old man. And read it, apostrophe answered the captain, eyeing him attentively, and proceeding to quote it from memory. My dear Ned Cuddle, when I left home for the West Indies in forlorn search of intelligence of my dear, there he sits. There's Waller. Apostrophe said the captain, as if he were relieved by getting hold of anything that was real and indisputable. Well, Ned. Now attend a moment. Apostrophe said the old man. When I wrote first, that was from Barbados, I said that, though you would receive that letter long before the year was out, I should be glad, if you would open the packet, as it explained the reason of my going away. Very good, Ned. When I wrote the second, third, and perhaps the fourth times that was from Jamaica, I said I was in just the same state, couldn't rest, and couldn't come away from that part of the world, without knowing that my boy was lost or saved. When I wrote next that, I think, was from Demerara, wasn't it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, that he thinks was from Demerara, weren't it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the captain, looking hopelessly round. I said, apostrophe, proceeded old soul, that still there was no certain information got yet. That I found many captains and others, in that part of the world, who had known me for years, and who assisted me with a passage here and there, and for whom I was able, now and then, to do a little in return, in my own craft. That everyone was sorry for me, and seemed to take a sort of interest in my wanderings, and that I began to think it would be my fate, to cruise about in search of tidings of my boy, until I died. Apostrophe, began to think as how he was a scientific Flying Dutchman. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the captain, as before, and with great seriousness. But when the news come one day, Ned, that was to Barbados, after I got back there, that a China trader homeward bound had been spoke, that had my boy aboard, then, Ned, I took passage in the next ship and came home. Arrived at home tonight to find it true, thank God. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the old man, devoutly. The captain, after bowing his head with great reverence, stared all round the circle, beginning with Mr. Toots, and ending with the instrument maker, then gravely said, "Sol Gills, the observation as I may going to make is calculated to blow every stitch of sail as you can carry, clean out of the bolt ropes, and bring you on your beam ends with a lurch. Not one of them letters was ever delivered to Edward Cuttle. Not one of them letters," apostrophe repeated the captain, to make his declaration the more solemn and impressive, "was ever delivered unto Edward Cuttle, mariner, of England, as lives at home at ease, and doth improve each shining hour. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and posted by my own hand, and directed by my own hand, number 9 brig plus. Apostrophe, apostrophe," exclaimed Old Sol. The color all went out of the captain's face, and all came back again in a glow. "What do you mean, Sol Gills, my friend, by number 9 brig plus? Apostrophe, apostrophe," inquired the captain. "Mean? Your lodgings, Ned," apostrophe returned the old man. "Mrs. What's her name? I shall forget my own name next, but I am behind the present time I always was, you recollect, and very much confused. Mrs. apostrophe, Sol Gills. Apostrophe, apostrophe," said the captain, as if he were putting the most improbable case in the world, "it ain't the name of McStinger as you're a trying to remember? Apostrophe, apostrophe, of course it is. Apostrophe, apostrophe," exclaimed the instrument maker. "To be sure, Ned. Mrs. McStinger. Apostrophe, apostrophe," Captain Cuttle, whose eyes were now as wide open as they would be, and the knobs upon whose face were perfectly luminous, gave a long shrill whistle of a most melancholy sound, and stood gazing at everybody in a state of speechlessness. "Overhaul that there again, Sol Gills, will you be so kind? Apostrophe, apostrophe," he said at last. "All these letters," apostrophe returned Uncle Sol, beating time with the forefinger of his right hand upon the palm of his left, with a steadiness and distinctness that might have done honor even to the infallible chronometer in his pocket, "I posted with my own hand, and directed with my own hand, to Captain Cuttle, at Mrs. McStinger's, number 9 brig plus. Apostrophe," the captain took his glazed hat off his hook, looked into it, put it on, and sat down. "Why, friends all," apostrophe said the captain, staring round in the last state of discomfiture, "I cut and run from there. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and no one knew where you were gone, Captain Cuttle? Apostrophe, apostrophe," cried Walter hastily. "Bless your heart, Waller," apostrophe said the captain, shaking his head, "she'd never have allowed o' my coming to take charge o' this here property. Nothing could be done but cut and run. Lord love you, Waller." Apostrophe, apostrophe said the captain, "you've only seen her in a calm, but see her when her angry passions rise and make a note on. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I'd give it her." Apostrophe, apostrophe, remarked the Nipper, softly. "Would you, do you think, my dear?" Apostrophe returned the captain, with Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.